trumpet and about the locust-like creatures that will torment men on the earth for 5 months of the time of the tribulation period. Tonight we start at verse 1 of the 9th chapter. Let me just say that if you were to make chapter divisions here in this 9th chapter, you would have, well, I would outline it something like this. You have the 5th trumpet spoken of in verse 1 and 2. And then after that, you have the locust-like creatures that are loosed on the earth, beginning in verse 3, going down through verse 6. And then you have from verse 7 down to verse 11, a description of these creatures that will torment men on the earth for something like the space of 5 months. And then in verse 12, you have the announcement of 2 more woes to come. Now, the 5th trumpet is the first woe trumpet. And there are 2 others to follow after that. You remember back in the latter part of the 8th chapter, there was an angel that was flying in the midst of heaven. And he said, "Woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth, by reason of the other voices of the trumpets of the 3 angels which are yet to sound." So the last 3 trumpets are the woe trumpets. That simply means they're going to be far worse than the other 4 were. Now let's note what we have here as we read in verse 1 of the 9th chapter. We're describing now those events that take place in the 7-year tribulation period on the earth. "And the 5th angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven unto the earth. And to him was given the key of the bottomless pit." This 5th angel that sounds here is the first of the 3 woe trumpets. Now, in the first 4 trumpets that we've studied thus far, the ecology of the land was affected only. But the last 3 trumpets are going to be direct judgment upon mankind, and not necessarily upon the ecology of the land, like in the others that we've studied so far. So the last 3 are going to be directed toward the inhabitants of the earth, humanity, in other words. Now, what about this star that fell? We noted in the lesson before that some of the stars were meteors or something of that sort, maybe atomic bombs in some cases. But here I believe that the star is surely a person of some kind, because the star is called in that same verse "him" and "to him." So the term star sometimes does evidently refer to a meteor of some sort because of the devastating effect that it has upon the earth. But here the star is being used, as it was back in chapter 1, as a symbol of a person. Back over there in chapter 1 in verse 20, it was a symbol of the 7 messengers or 7 pastors of the 7 churches in Asia Minor. It's not unusual in the Bible for a star to represent an angel, because it's called a messenger, an angel, back in chapter 1 and verse 20 of this book. But sometimes it's referring to the very angels of God that fly in the heavens. Back in the book of Job, for instance, the 38th chapter in verse 7. It speaks of a time when the earth was created, and it said that all of the morning stars sang together. Well, the stars there are persons. They're angels that existed before the earth was created. The creation of the angels preceded that of the earth and of man. So the angels are sometimes called stars. And this particular star here is most assuredly an angel. And I believe that this star is none other than the devil himself. And I say that because of what follows here. He has the key to the bottomless pit. And I believe only the devil has that key. So I said, well, it may be an exalted angel of God. That's true. It might very well be that. But now, remember that the 5th angel sounded. That's the angel of God in heaven. And then it says, a star fell from heaven to the earth. That was not necessarily the angel that blew the trumpet. That was something else, you see, that was a result of the sounding of this trumpet. But after sounding of the fifth trumpet, this star or this angel falls from heaven. And I'm convinced that it is the devil. You know, Jesus said in the book of Luke in the 10th chapter in verse 18, and I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. That very well may be a reference to this time here in Revelation chapter 9 and verse 1. Furthermore, we are told in the 14th chapter of Isaiah in that description of the devil, he's called Lucifer, Lucifer, son of the morning. The word Lucifer can be translated day star. So again, you see, you have an angel of God, a fallen angel, a devil, being represented by a star. So yes, I believe that the star here is none other than the day star of Isaiah chapter 14, verse 12 to 17. In other words, this is the devil coming down from heaven to the earth. And he has a key in his hand. Back in chapter 1, we're told that Jesus had the keys of Hades and death. Here, though, the key is in the singular. It's only one key, and it is to the bottomless pit. And this angel has authority over the bottomless pit. Now, when somebody has a key to a door, it simply means that he has the authority to open that door and to go in and out if he so desires. So here it said that the devil has the key to the bottomless pit. That is nothing in the world but the prison of demon spirits. And I can say that because the Bible many, many times declares that to be so. You can think about over there in the book of Luke, the 8th chapter, in verse 31. Jesus was conversing there with the demons that were getting ready to go into the swine. And they said, what are you going to make us do, in other words? You're going to torment us before the time? And when they found out what he was going to do, they said, suffer us to go into the deep. And the word deep there in the original is actually the same thought that we have here that's translated bottomless pit. So then they said, are you going to permit us to go down to the bottomless pit and be bound down there with some of the other demons? And of course, the answer there is not too easily to ascertain exactly where those demons may have gone. Let's go back, though, and just quickly look at that passage and see what it says. We refer to it. It might be better just to read it. And they besought him that he would not command them to go out into the deep. Now, a lot of people have the idea there that it's the sea. But I don't believe that's the deep there. The idea in the original is more of the bottomless pit, this prison house of the demons, you see. The term bottomless pit occurs a number of times in the book of Revelation. It's here in chapter 9, verse 1 and 2. Then it again occurs in the 11th verse right here when we're told the name of this angel, and you'll find out then that it is indeed the devil because it has the name of the devil. And then it's used again in the 11th chapter, verse 7, still again in chapter 17 in verse 8, and then still again in chapter 20, verse 1, and chapter 20 and verse 3. So it occurs a number of times. It is the prison house of the demons. Now, I don't have my chart out here tonight. Maybe I'll find it somewhere in unpacking that has the underworld on it. But if I did, over here on this side, you'd have like paradise in a big old round compartment. And then like this window is here, that would be the bottomless pit, the great guff that's spoken of in the 16th chapter of Luke. And over here then would be the hell section. So these demons, if I can understand anything, are in this bottomless pit that is in the center of the earth somewhere. That's where they're confined. Right now, they're confined on this earth. Not all of them, but some of them in the bottomless pit. And you see, the devil is going to let out these demons during the time of the tribulation, and they're going to go out on the earth and torment men. So you're going to find out a lot about demons here, because I believe these are demons. I have heard some preach that these locust-like creatures are jet planes and missiles and the like, but I can't conceive of that because they have the activity of persons and not of some machine of some sort. Then I've heard others say that they're atomic bombs and all that, but that doesn't make any sense to me either, because I don't believe that the bottomless pit's got bombs and airplanes in it. The Bible nowhere indicates that, but rather indicates in Luke the 8th chapter, verse 31, that fallen demon spirits are in that bottomless pit. So the devil is going to open up the door and let out the meanest demons that there is on the earth. They're so mean that God has confined them right now. But in order to judge the men of the earth, he's going to let the devil turn them loose for a while. And the world's never seen a time like they're going to have when all those demons are turned loose to torment mankind. It's going to be an awful, awful time. Now let's go on and note what we have in verse 2. And he opened the bottomless pit, I assume, using the key mentioned there in verse 1. And there arose a smoke out of the pit. I don't believe that's figurative smoke. I believe that's literal smoke, and probably would involve, if I had to guess, some sort of air pollution because of what's going to follow here. But it is literal smoke. It's a literal pit, and it has literal smoke in it. As the smoke of a great furnace. In other words, he's going to open up the prison house of the demons, where they're tormented. And the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. There's the air pollution. Not nuclear fallout, some say that. I don't believe that's the meaning. I believe that that's literal smoke coming right up out of the bowels of the earth. Now, I'm not a great geologist or anything of the sort. But I have studied books enough to know that they tell me that the center of the earth is red-hot, molten lava. And sometimes that comes out in these volcanoes to the surface. So now can you imagine what a terrible, terrible furnace God has burning right down there in the center of the earth? And I believe that's where hell is, too. Right down there in the center of the earth. And that's where this prison house is, that great guff that Jesus spoke of. So there's real smoke coming up out of it. Imagine figurative smoke darkening the sun in the air. That'd be pretty hard to do, wouldn't it? This is real stuff we're talking about, see. It pollutes the air, and it darkens the sun so you can't see it. So you have severe air pollution. And then we go on down to note in verse 3 what's said. And there came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth. Now, when you first read that, you might get the impression that the locusts are the locusts like we see sometimes on our fields and yard and the like, but that's not what these locusts are, as you're going to see. They're called locusts because that's as nearly at describing what they look like that John could come. They look like the locusts, you see. Now, these natural locusts that are oftentimes spoken of in the Bible are used by God to punish people. Do you remember one of the plagues upon Egypt was the plague of locusts? That was literal locusts that ate up the crops and the like. And then in Joel chapter 1, verse 4 to 7, there's mentioned there of a time in Israel when real locusts were sent by God to judge the nation of Israel for their disobedience. But these are not like any locusts that the world has ever had any dealings with. That is most assuredly the case. They're not natural locusts because they're just locust-like creatures is all I know to call them. And unto them was given power as the scorpions of the earth have power. But we all know that the normal locust does not have power like the scorpions have. I don't know whether you know much about the bite of a scorpion or not, but if you've ever read on it much, it is a very painful bite. Very painful bite. It drives a man almost into fits when he has been bitten by one of these scorpions that's out in the desert of various countries of the world. We don't have many of them around here. I believe, though, these are demons in the form of locusts. And I call them infernal cavalrymen, infernal emissaries of the devil. And they are locust-like creatures, hellish origin. as we can see from the way they're coming up out of the bottomless pit there. Now, what I think we're going to see here, and some disagree, have you ever wondered what a demon looks like? I have. Have you ever taken the time to look at any of the books on witchcraft, at the pictures they draw of demons? It's enough to scare you to look at them. Well, they may have missed it some in their artistic drawings, because some of the drawings are contradictory to the other. But they all look terrible if you look at them. And I believe that demons look like awful monsters to us. And what I think we're going to see here is a demon taking on an external form that may correspond to his spiritual form. Or at least they look like this when they appear on the earth at this time. So if you want to know what a demon looks like, then just keep reading here. I believe you're going to find out very shortly. Now, I don't know whether these are real locust-like creatures that demons possess, are demon possessed, or whether they're demons appearing like locust creatures to torment men. I believe that they're surely demons one way or the other. Either they're locusts that demons control, or they're actual demons, more than likely, that appear in this form. You'll note in verse 4 that they're certainly not like the locusts of our time, because the locusts of our time like green vegetation, but these locusts are going after mankind. So they're not real locusts, you see. Look at verse 4. And it was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing, neither any tree. Most of them I've ever seen have been on trees or plants. Note that these will have nothing to do with that. But only those men which have not the seal of God in their forehead. Now, do you note there a little hint as to why God sealed the 144,000 Israelites back over there in the 7th chapter? Because these locusts can torment everybody now except those that have the seal of God in their forehead. So one of the reasons why that God sealed 144,000 Israelites was that they would be protected from the plague of locusts under the fifth trumpet of God's wrath on the earth. So then that sealing was for earthly preservation, like I said, from these locusts that will be on the earth, you see. Look back up there at verse 3. It said, they have power like the scorpions of the earth have power. You see, these locusts are on the earth. They're tormenting men in literal bodies. And so these Israelites must be on the earth. They're not in heaven like some say. They're down here where all of these locust-like creatures are roaming around, but they're immune to any torment at the hands of these locusts. So that's why they were sealed in their foreheads. Now, if they were natural locusts, it would be rather difficult to know how that they would ascertain the servants of God sealed in their foreheads. Now, we know God by a miracle could do that, but it sounds to me as if these creatures are intelligent enough to know the servants of God that have been sealed in their forehead. Well, let's read on now and see what we have in verse 5. And to them it was given that they should not kill them. Now, they can't kill anybody, but they'll torment them. You know, sometimes dying's not too bad. I've seen people suffering with awful cancer that, in my estimation, dying would have been better than living. That's the truth. I've seen people hurt so bad because of an automobile accident and so broken up in their bone structure until they probably would have been as well off to die as they would be to live. As far as the suffering and pain was concerned, dying would have been bliss. But now, these particular creatures, these demons, are not going to kill anybody. But they're going to make men wish that they were dead. And that's even worse. You know, the pains of death to endure for 5 months is terrible torment. Pains of death are bad to the mortal flesh, even for a few minutes or an hour. But this is going to be for 5 months, as we're going to see. And to them it was given that they should not kill them, but that they should be tormented 5 months. That is the actual, time that the locusts roam the earth, the literal locusts. And these are going to be confined to a 5-month period of torment. And their torment was as the torment of a scorpion when he striketh a man. Now what I can visualize as I read that is millions and millions of people all over the world that have been stung or bitten or whatever you want to call it by these locust-like creatures. And the pain is so great until they're crying out for relief. Millions and millions of people throughout the world. Think about how awful that's going to be, my friends. That's going to be a terrible time, you see. It would be as if scorpions had bit people all over the country, and they felt as if they were ready to die because of the tremendous pain that will go through their bodies at that time. And I believe that this pain is going to drive men out of their minds. You know, a man can suffer so much until his mentality will just collapse on him. And that's what happens to people sometimes. They suffer so much until they'll do something to end their life, because they're driven out of their head like. Well, men are going to be driven out of their head. They're going to go crazy, we'll say. But they still won't be able to kill themselves. God's going to prevent their death, that the torment might be prolonged. And in those days shall men seek death. In other words, they'll say it's better to die than put up with this. And shall not find it. Somehow, some way, God will, by His providence, prevent them from killing themselves. And shall desire to die, and death shall flee from them. God, by miraculous providence, will keep alive all of these inhabitants of the earth for 5 months, that they may endure this awful sting, like the sting of a scorpion. Actual demon torment. You know, if God did not restrain the demon spirits, they would do us that way right now, tonight. Now, they can influence a child of God, but they cannot touch him, because Christ won't have that. Because where Jesus is, the devil can't get in. But they can influence us. They can whisper in our ear. They can arrange circumstance so as to tempt us even. But when it comes to those that are lost, the devil can take over their body in the person of a demon. And that demon can take over that man in such a way that that man becomes that demon. But now think about not being so much possessed by demons as being tormented by demons. How would you defend yourself against a demon? You ever thought about that? Well, you're going to find that these creatures are immune to death, and that makes me believe they're demons, because you can kill a normal locust. The natural locust can be killed without any difficulty there. So the agony of the body will drive men to a state of insanity. They'll try to kill themselves, but there'll be no way to do it. Now here's what the demons look like. Listen at this description. It's scary to think about. And the shapes of the locusts were like unto horses prepared unto battle. And on their heads were, as it were, crowns like gold. I never have seen a locust that had a crown on its head, have you? See, these are demon spirits in the form of locusts. And their faces were as the faces of men. I've never seen a locust that looked like a man either. I've seen some weird looking locusts, but I didn't see any of them that had the face of a man. See, these are demons appearing in locusts like creatures that have the face of a man. Well, that's the most terrible thing I've ever read about. That's a Frankenstein's monster, or worse. Well, it is just that. And if you want a more detailed account of these creatures, turn over here to the second chapter of the book of Joel. I believe that Joel speaks of these same creatures in chapter 2, verse 1 down to verse 11. He describes the day of the Lord. In verse 2 there, he talks about, in verse 1 he says, "The day of the Lord cometh, for it is nigh at hand." The day of the Lord, of course, involves a tribulation. And then he says, "A day of darkness and of gloominess, a day of clouds and thick darkness, as a mountain spreading as the morning spreading upon the mountains, a great people and a strong that hath not been ever the like, neither shall there be any more after it. Now, what's the tribulation? It's a time of great trouble like there's never been any before, never be any after. Well, that's exactly what he describes here. And that's why it's going to be like that, why it's going to be the worst time in the world. Listen, even to the years of many generations. In other words, there's never been anything like it. A fire devoureth before them, and behind them a flame burneth. The land is as the Garden of Eden before them, and behind them a desolate wilderness. Yea, and nothing shall escape them. The appearance of them is as the appearance of horses, and as horsemen, so shall they run. That's exactly what John said about them. Like the noise of chariots on the top of the mountain shall they leap, like the noise of a flame of fire that devoureth the stubble, as a strong people set in battle array. Before their face the people shall be much pained. All faces shall gather blackness. They shall run like mighty men. They shall climb the wall like men of war. They shall march every one on his ways. They shall not break their ranks. Neither shall one thrust another. They shall walk every one in his path. And when they fall upon the sword, they shall not be wounded. They are immune to death. See it? They shall run to and fro in the city. They shall run upon the wall. They shall climb up upon the houses. They shall enter in at the windows like a thief. The earth shall quake before them, and the heavens shall tremble. The sun and the moon shall be darkened, and the stars shall withdraw their shining. And the Lord shall utter his voice before his army, for his camp is very great, for he is the strong that executeth his word. For the day of the Lord is great and very terrible, and who can abide in it? I think he's speaking of the same time. And while these demon spirits are liberated by the devil, you can see from Joel's account that they are accomplishing God's wrath upon the earth. And in that sense, he calls them his great army, because they're executing his will to punish the inhabitants of the earth. Now let's go back, and we're going to keep on reading here the account of their description in the 9th chapter of Revelation. And you'll find that it compares in many, many ways with that of Joel that we read the entire account of over there. They have the faces of men, he says that. Now look at verse 8. And they had hair as the hair of women, long-haired creatures. And their teeth were as the teeth of lions. I'd hate to see fellows like that, wouldn't you? That'd be a mean bunch to look at. Long hair with crowns of gold on their head and looked like a man and got teeth like a lion. And they had breastplates, as it were the breastplates of iron. And the sound of their wings was as the sound of chariots, many horses running to battle. Somebody said, how big are these creatures? They're compared to horses. So that gives you some idea about the size of them. They're compared to horses that go into battle. They're a well group of intelligent, organized demon spirits, and they're out to torment men. It sounds to me like that we're seeing the demons unmasked to some degree right here. And they had tails like unto scorpions. And there were stings in their tails, just like a scorpion, you see. And their power was to hurt men 5 months. That's the second time we're told they'll torment men on the earth for 5 months. The natural time that the locust goes forth in the land and devours the earth in most cases. So they have wings now. That's how they can go up on top of the city, you see, and be here and there, and they can leap around from one place to another. They have wings. They fly like a locust would fly, a real locust, you see. These tails like scorpions sound terrible to me to think about how they can hurt men there for 5 months. And that hurt is going to be greater than we can imagine, not having witnessed the thing taking place. And certainly we know they're not real locusts, because we go down there to the 11th verse, we find that they have a king. Have you ever known locusts to have a king? You say, well, you have the queen bee and the king and all that. Why not in the locust family? Well, the Bible says that the locusts are not organized like that. Maybe bees, but not locusts. Over here in the book of Proverbs, the 31st chapter in verse 12, there's this statement about the locusts. I'm sorry, it's the 30th chapter in verse 27. The locusts have no king, yet they go forth, all of them, by bands. So our Bible tells us, as well as modern science, that the locusts have no king. There's nobody that is a ramrod of the locusts. So they don't have any king. But now here are locusts that have king. They have a king. And he has a very remarkable name, too, and it tells who this king is. And they had a king over them, which is the angel of the bottomless pit. All right, now we're finding out who that star is that fell from heaven. He's called here the angel of the bottomless pit. So he was an angel, you see, a real angel. And I believe the devil, whose name in the Hebrew tongue is Abaddon. Now that word Abaddon in the Hebrew means destruction. Destruction. And of course you know that the devil is a destroyer. He is a destroyer. And that's one of his titles here, Abaddon. The devil is a destroyer. But in the Greek tongue, his name is Apollyon. And that of course means the destroyer too. So the idea here is that of destruction or destroyer. Well, now, why wouldn't the devil be that if he's going to turn loose all of these creatures on the earth to destroy things and to torment men for 5 months' duration of time? I tell you, that's an awful thing to think about to me. I believe that this is none other than the devil, who is called Apollyon in the Greek over there in 1 Peter 5 and 8, which means destroyer. In other words, the Greek word over there that's translated devil, the devil goes about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. That's the Greek word Apollyon, and it means destroyer. It's the same word here that says his name is Apollyon. So there's little doubt in my mind of what the angel of the bottomless pit is, the devil. And that the devil will come from heaven down to the earth, open up this bottomless pit, let all of these demons out, to torment men for 5 months. And it would seem after that they won't torment anymore. That'll be the length of their ministry. You say, well, they're going to put them back in jail. What are they going to do with them? I don't know. The Bible doesn't give a clear answer to that. We know that their ministry will last for the period of 5 months. And then we go down to verse 12 and end our study for tonight. One woe is past, and behold, there come two woes, more hereafter. And you know it's going to get worse instead of better. So essentially what was happening here under the fifth trumpet was these infernal, demon, locust-like creatures will torment men to the point that'll drive them mad for 5 months. They'll have to put up with it. They'll try to kill themselves and there won't be any way to die. They just have to endure the pain. Won't be any painkillers or anything else. How can you take a painkiller against a demon? And how can you take a gun and shoot a demon? You can't. He's a spirit creature that may take on a tangible form. So there's no medical remedy for this sting, and there is no defense against these creatures. They are immune to death. You cannot kill them, and you cannot treat their wound. You can only endure the pain. So that's why they call it the tribulation. It's a time of great trial. Never been anything like it. Never before, never after will it be so. It will be, though, for 5 months on the earth like that.